Father in heaven, I thank you for this moment as we prepare for the foot washing and communion service in honor of your death and resurrection, Lord, and our salvation. I pray you use me in spite of me to be a blessing, and that we only see and we only hear Jesus. So take control now, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to introduce you to Naval Marshal General Isoroku Yamamoto. Anybody here know who that is? Here is the architect of the December 7th, 1941 Pearl Harbor sneak attack. He was the preeminent naval officer in rank, and he sent out his planes from five of his aircraft carriers, and by their strategic plan they had laid, it was a complete success. And when the planes came back, most of them safely, and landed on the deck, General Yamamoto was reported as saying, "I fear all we have done is awaken a sleeping giant and fill him with terrible resolve." And so I invite you to join me today as we look at the preparation for communion, a time to awaken the sleeping giant, by taking your Bibles and turning to Psalms, the 57th Psalm. Psalm number 57, a short, beautiful psalm that has one phrase in it that is just incredible. In fact, it would be an excellent goal for the whole year, for the Paradise Church, is couched in this beautiful psalm of 11 verses. Do you have Psalms 57? Turn with me there. Children, I hope you have your Bibles. Turn with me to Psalms, the 57th chapter. We're looking at "It's Time to Awaken the Sleeping Giant." I'm reading from the New King James. I start with verse 1. It says, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadows of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to the God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall ascend from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up, Shelah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among the lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongues sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my feet. My soul is bound down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it they themselves have fallen. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory, awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing to you among the nations. For your mercy reaches unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, from the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth." Above all, my friends, this psalm was written during a time of great crisis to David. As you read at the end of verse number 1, until these calamities have passed by me. And in this terrible crisis, David was hidden in a cave and Saul was trying to kill him. You remember the story. 1 Samuel 22, 23, 24. And he's wandering all over the wilderness trying to find ways of escaping the terrible wrath of Saul who is trying to kill him. That is the backdrop to this beautiful psalm. In fact, when he wrote it, he was in the wilderness of En-Gedi, fleeing from King Saul, and that's on the southwest corner or shore of the Dead Sea. And so again, we look at what the King James says here in Psalms 57:8. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psalms, tree, and harp. I myself will awake early. But if you have a newer version, it may say something a little different. In fact, I want you to look at that final phrase in this text, verse 8. I myself is in parentheses because it's not in the Hebrew, will awaken early. But in the Hebrew, literally translating it, I will waken the dawn. I want you to say that with me. I will awaken the dawn. Say that with me again. I will awaken the dawn. Literally in the Hebrew, that's how you translate the last phrase of text number 8. And so the first thing I want to show you about that text is this. I will awaken the dawn. Number 1, spend time with God each morning. Take a look at Isaiah 50, verse 4. Are you familiar with this text? I sure hope you are. If you're not, I want to impress it upon your mind in such a way you never forget this. Isaiah 50, verse 4. Remember, we're looking at the simple Hebrew phrase, I will awaken the dawn. In Psalms 50, verse 4, here's what it says. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He what? He awakens who? Morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Incredibly, the Bible here, Isaiah writes that somebody is awakened by somebody who's awake. No, somebody awakens somebody who's asleep. Morning by morning. Not just once in a while. And the purpose of that waking is so the person who is asleep, his ear can hear what he needs to know for that day. Say it with me, my friends. I will awaken the dawn. Every day, get up early. Every day, open your Bible. Every day, understand that God wants you to awaken the dawn. That He wants to spend time with you. And this becomes more important as we go along. But before we do, let's look at Psalms 5, 1, 2, 3. Turn to Psalms 5, 1, 2, 3. I want to show you that every morning on Wednesday at 6 o'clock, when we have our prayer time here at the church, this is the psalm song that we sing out of King James before we pray. Do you have Psalms 5? I don't hear anybody saying anything. I knew somebody was here. What does it say? All right. You got it? Okay, those of you who know the song, sing it with me. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. This is King James. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. I will awaken the dawn. Can you imagine what kind of church we would be if we practiced this every single day as faithfully as the sun rises every single day? I will awaken the dawn, the psalmist wrote. In the time of crisis, he discovered it was more important than ever. And look at what it says in Christ Object Lessons. It says that from hours spent with God, He, Jesus, came forth morning by morning to bring the light of heaven to men. Daily, He received a fresh baptism of the what? Holy Spirit. In the early hours of the new day, the Lord awakened him from his slumber. Who was doing the waking and who was awakened according to this text? God woke Jesus every morning from his slumber, and his soul and his lips were anointed with grace that he might impart to others. Oh, friends. I will awaken the morning, is what the psalmist wrote. And David practiced it in a time of crisis. And we discover that Jesus was awakened every day by the Father. And if you have never knelt down by your bedside with your Bible open and read Isaiah 50 verse 4, I challenge you to do it. And then, watch out. Guess what's going to happen? Guess what's going to happen? The Lord's going to wake you up. And then guess what? You got to decide if you're going to get out of bed and talk to Him or just go back to sleep. But for David in a time of crisis, he wrote, I will awaken the dawn. Come on, you didn't say it. I will awaken the dawn. Number two, with singing and music. Go back to Psalms 57 and take a look at verses 7 as well as 8 and 9. We will reread those. And notice what was included by David in a time of crisis. Do you have Isaiah 57 again? Yeah, Psalm. Thank you. See, I just want to make sure you're still there. Actually, I forgot. Look what it says. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awaken my glory. Awaken lute and harp. King James, Psalm Street and harp. Some others, it is lyre and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing to you among the nations. Music is a part of the dawn. Singing to God. By the way, I want you to know that this is really, really important. I wonder if you've ever done that. It really changes your devotional time when you get up, when you include a song to sing. But there's a deeper meaning here than just that. If you were to look, If you were to look at Psalms 150, the very last psalm that's written, let's look at it carefully. Just six verses. And by the way, the minute we start uttering the first line, you'll remember it. Look what it says. The very last... Now this is incredible. The last psalm is sending a strong message. Okay? Praise the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everyone that has breath do what? Praise the Lord. Then He says, praise the Lord. I am so thankful that we have a choir in this church. And when they did the outstanding job of the Christmas presentation, we had instruments up here. Folks, that's how you worship. Some of you can play instruments and you're sitting on them at home. I want you to know, I want them up here for song service. Why? Because what does Psalms 150 say? What did David close the psalm with? He closed that we should use anything legitimate to praise the Lord. We need instruments. We got a children's choir. Fantastic. Why? Because that's part of awakening the dawn. And so I'm very thankful for Joel, who's not here today, and for Dee Dee, who's not here today, for leading our male choir, for leading our children's choir. And I'm thankful for all of you who are sitting there on your instruments, but the Lord is speaking to you right now. It needs to be incorporated in our song service. Why? Because in a time of crisis, David wrote, awaken lute, awaken harp. For I will awaken the dawn. Now let me show you Psalms 22, verse 3. In the King James, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. In the Bible in basic English, O you who are seated among the praises of Israel. And the Darby Bible, thou that dwelleth amidst the praises of Israel, and the New American Standard, O thou who art enthroned upon the praises of Israel. What should we do? I will awaken the dawn. And now I want to take a little turn here with this text. Because even though the literal translation is, I will waken the dawn, if you listen and read most of the commentators, they will say that all revolves around getting up early in the morning and that before the sun is rising, I will awaken early and I will praise God and I will sing and I will so forth. But I want you to stop and think of that last little phrase and let's take it literally. I will awaken the dawn. I want you to look at Revelation 22, verse 16. That's the last text we're going to look at today. And then we'll go to foot washing. But I want you to see this, folks. And we could have gone to a couple of other texts in different places, but I chose the last book in the Bible for the end time people. I chose the last chapter of the Bible for those who have come through the crisis. And I want to show you verse 16. Do you all have it? Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you of these things in the church. I am the root and offspring of David. I am the what? And guess what morning star is? The dawn. I, by my attitude and my actions and my desire, will awaken the sleeping giant Jesus every day so that He can go to work in my behalf. I will awaken the dawn. The dawn is none other than Jesus Christ. He is the bright and morning star. And as the day goes on, the sun, the literal sun, gets brighter and brighter. And the Bible tells us so does the Son of God get brighter and brighter. When He gets in your heart, He arises and continues to shine brighter and brighter. And suddenly, this phrase in Hebrew that literally says, I will awaken the dawn, meant more to me than ever before, because first of all, Jesus isn't sleeping, but it's telling me to act as if He was. And once we do that, dawn gets brighter and brighter and brighter and more powerful and more influential in my life. Oh, friends, we need to, I will awaken the dawn. We need to see that Jesus is like a sleeping giant waiting for His people to stop yawning and talk to Him and to act out the things that they have heard in theory and discover that He really is there and really cares. In fact, the last text, I said there was... I lost a text somewhere. No, I didn't lose it. Look at this. I want you to first turn to 2 Corinthians 3:18. That's the last text. And look what it says. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Mark this, underline it, cross-reference it with Isaiah 50, verse 4. Here's what my Bible says. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of who? The Lord. Are being what? Transformed into the same image, His image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. When we behold Jesus, we become more and more like Him and reflect more and more of His glory, and suddenly we realize the importance of the concept, I will awaken the dawn. Prayer moves the arm of omnipotence. Prayer has subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, and the flight of armies of the aliens. Hebrews 11:33, 34, Christ Object Lesson 702. Folks, we need to move the arm of omnipotence. And it starts at the beginning of your day. By the way, if you happen to work at night, and you sleep during the day, then whenever you get up, I will awaken the dawn. But if you sleep at night, the Bible strongly says that we need to waken the dawn before we do anything else, whether we work all night long or during the day. And if we do, we will be transformed slowly but surely more and more like Jesus. And so, it is time to waken the sleeping giant. And folks, I want you to come tonight at 6 o'clock for our prayer time. A 2-hour vigil. And by the way, I want the children to be here. It's about school. I want you to bring them because they need to learn that these awakening dawn experiences are for young and old. And the three things we're praying about is the satellite church school here, the property next door, and the church finances. And by the way, we'll explain about the satellite church school too, and also as well as the property next door, in 2 hours' time. And again, I want 150 people to be here.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.